Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. If you will, open your Bibles to Genesis. I believe it's chapter. Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. Released. Hallelujah. The title of the message this morning is Released. Look at your neighbor next to you and say, let me go. Just let me go. Turn me loose, Mother Goose. Amen. You guys remember that? Just let me go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anything I'd like for you to really, really, really get a hold of this morning is that what Jesus did on the cross is such a complete deal. When he said it was finished, everything was finished. He did everything that he needed to do for us and for the planet. He redeemed it. Is that right? What is redeemed? What does redeemed mean? You go to redeem a coupon? You go to cash it in? He redeemed us. He bought us back. Is that right? He paid the price. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 15 through. I'm going to read through 17, then we're going to go to chapter 3. Verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Easy command to keep, is that right? Of every tree of the garden you can eat. All right, I like to eat. I'll take that command. And then he says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And then he says this, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. I believe today that if Adam and Eve would have never partaken of that tree, that they would have lived forever. Who knows what it'd be like today? But God said, you will never die if you don't eat of that. But the day that you eat of it, you're going to surely die. It's kind of a crazy concept. How you might think of, hey man, living forever? What is that all about? Nevertheless, I will say to you this morning that God never intended for you to die. Is that okay? God never intended for mankind to die. Is that okay? You're going to say, yeah. Okay, that's kind of weird. But nevertheless, I believe it. I believe death is one of those things that brings great pain, great sorrow. Is that right? Because your loved ones that you love so much, and when it happens, and it's a tearing. Is that right? And sometimes we have questions. Say, God, why would you let things happen? But you know what? God knows what He's doing. I will always resort to trusting God. Is that right? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, verse 1 of chapter 3, we're going to go. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yeah, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Really? Has God said that you cannot eat of every tree of the garden? And here's what Eve answered, and the woman answered and said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She knew the commandment. But how many of you know that God didn't command them not to touch it? Is that right? He told them, don't eat of it. You can touch it. See, Adam was taking care of the garden. He was the gardener, if you will. So obviously, maybe if he got around that tree, there might be a time where he might touch the tree, just trying to clear up around it. Is that right? How many believe there's weeds in heaven? I don't think so. I kind of doubt it. I don't know. but you know, I'm a weed eating kind of guy. I don't eat them, but I like to get rid of them. Yeah, I like to weed out of. But he told him, don't. She said, and he said, don't touch it lest you die. And what she did is she began to pervert the word of God. How many know that that is? Sometimes people will pervert the word of God to try to get things done their way or something. But how many of you know, you got to stay in the word. Is that right? I will tell you today, stay in the word of God, because the word of God will protect you. The Holy Spirit will come to you and say, well, that's not right. That ain't right either. No, that's right. Now that's the truth. That'll work. God will help you. Hallelujah. But you got to stay in the word of God. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The temptation. Here he comes with his temptation, basically saying, you are not up to par. You're at this level. There's a level you could be if you did that. Can you hear the tempter speaking that? You can be up here, but right now you're down here. But if you eat of that tree, you can be up here. You can be like a god. And that was very tempting to her for some reason. Hallelujah. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and probably she touched it and did not die, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband. Duh. Come on, Adam. What are you doing? I don't know about that guy. I'm going to talk to him when I get to heaven. I mean, hey, Adam, I got a couple of things to say to you, bro. How about you? Yeah, well, no, you. It says, gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where are you? Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman that you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Typical? Is that right? Ladies are going, yeah, that's the way I got it. That's the way it is. Guys will always blame the lady, and the ladies will always blame the guys. Is that right? And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I ate. This is known as the fall of man. Is that right? This is when it all went south. Is that right? The fall of man plunged the earth and everything into a curse, if you will. The earth became cursed because of Adam. And every child born to Adam afterwards was carrying a seed of sin. Is that right? That's how we got to this mess. Is that right? Thanks a lot, Adam. I will have words for you when we get there. But who knows? Sin is a devastating thing for any person. How many know that? I mean, if you know that sin is not good for you, raise your hand. If you don't know that sin is not good for you, we'll have another class afterwards. But sin is not good. It destroys. It always destroys. Oh, it might look good at first. Oh, it might be fun. It might have some pleasure to it. The Bible says that there's pleasure for a season. But then that season will end. How many, just like any other, just like winter, summer, seasons end, and then something happens and it changes. Yeah. Hallelujah. So man has lived with a sin problem until Jesus. Is that right? Hallelujah. So I just go to, we're going to take you to John chapter 1, verses 19 through 37. But before I give you that, I want to give you Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And then it says, so then death passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. By one man, sin entered into the world. It's been here ever since. Sin lives a long time. Doesn't it seem like it? It's been here ever since. Troubled man since the beginning. Hallelujah. But in John chapter 1, I'm sorry, John chapter 1, starting at verse 19. Let's go to there. Starting at verse 15, the Bible says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. Only the begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Verse 19 says, and this is the record. Sorry, this is where I was supposed to start. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Are you that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, well, who are you? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, why baptizest thou then, if you be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? And Jesus answered them, saying, John answered them and saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. Everybody say, if you only knew. If you only knew. There's one standing among you whom you do not know. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here with the story of John the Baptist. He's baptizing. He's baptizing people. He was sent from God to go and baptize, to prepare a way for the Lord. He was sent to prepare a way for the one that was going to take care of your sin problem. Is that right? His sin problem, Moses' sin problem, your sin problem. He was preparing the way for Jesus. Hallelujah. I like that. I love it. And then it says this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Wherefore I am come, baptizing with water. I'm sure this was an incredible day for John. Isn't that right? And he tells his disciples, the ones that were with him, check it out. There he is. There he goes. That's the Lamb of God right there. Strange saying, isn't it? That's the Lamb. The Lamb. We're talking about the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm sure his disciples go, what? Who? Him? That guy? He looks like one of us. He's the one you've been talking about? That's him. That's the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Who takes away. Is that right? He doesn't shove it under the rug, right? He doesn't take sin and put it under. The Bible says he takes it away. How many know that? There's something. He took away the sin of the world. And that's what it says. He said, look at him. There he goes. The Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Verse 32 says that John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes in the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God, is what John said. And again the next day, after John stood, two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, check it out. He's the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I believe John knew that his ministry was coming to an end. He looked at him. He said, that's who you're looking for. He even says in another place, I must decrease and he must what? Increase. John the Baptist, there he is, man. It's happening. It's starting. What God has prepared for mankind is starting today. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little excited. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 2. But what I want to talk a little bit about this morning is those two statements. That there's the Lamb of God right there. That's the Lamb of God. And what he does, he takes away the sin of the world. For centuries, time went by and God set up, he picked his people and he called them and they went into Egypt and God, and for 400 years they were in Egypt, and then God sends Moses to bring them out. And when he sends Moses to bring them out, he sets up a system to allow God to be close to them. Do you know that God's always wanted to be close to you? You know that? God always wants that. So he sets up this system. And it is a system to take care of sin. And this morning, I'm just going to do a little bit of a presentation to you because I believe that there are things that are in our life that are blocking the flow of the kingdom in our life. Can I say that to you? And I really believe that God is talking to us about flow. He's talking about how the kingdom of God is going to come into the earth. It's going to come in from within you. Last week we talked about how the earth, before it ever rained, before Noah had never seen rain, but God said, it's going to rain. It's going to do what? It's going to rain. What's that? It's going to rain. And I'm going to flood the earth and I'm going to destroy everyone on it because of sin, because of wickedness, because of violence. I want you to build a boat. Okay, so he builds a boat. And sure enough, there was a delusion in it and wiped out everyone but 8 people. Pretty crazy. So God sets up this system and he tells Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 2. What it says. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread. This was the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. They built this tabernacle. They had an area for the congregation. And then they had the holy place. And then they had the most holy place was where this box was placed inside there. It was a symbol of the presence of God. The holy place had three items in it, which it says here. It says was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread. And the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Those three items were in that place. But I want to talk to you about what was inside the Ark of the Covenant. Because we're talking about sin this morning. We're talking about what God has done and sin. And it says, and after that, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. That was a place where they would put incense. And it had in there, they would light the incense and it would smoke up the place with an incense. And then inside this box, it had this. It says, after the incense, and then it says, and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold. This was gold. This was a golden box, and wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. We cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year. Everybody say every year. Every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now, what I just want to talk to you about, this ark had items in it, and the items in it represented something. It said it had a pot of manna. It's kind of weird, a little pot. And it was the manna. It was the food that God had provided the people of God when they were in the wilderness. And when they were in the wilderness, the people got tired of that. We don't want any more manna. We're so tired of, we want food. We want garlic. We want melons. Is that right? They said, man, we used to eat good in Egypt, and out here we're eating this. What is it? That's what manna was. It was God. What is it? It's manna. Yeah, well, what is it? Well, it's manna. Never mind. It's one of those things. You gotta know it. and it had the manna. And the people rejected what God was giving them. They said, we want food. So God gave them quail. Remember that? Because they rejected the manna. God gave them quail. And when they were eating, God said, yeah. They got sick. They were eating. So they were pigging out, if you will. And the Bible says they got sick. The quails came out of their nostrils. Isn't that nice to know? Right before lunch. Yeah, it's almost lunchtime. Where's the clock? Yeah, it's 11:23. Yeah. Another thing that was in there was, I don't really have tables of stone, but this, I want to represent this as the tables of stone. And it was the commandments of God. And they rejected them. They said, man, they broke the commandments. One of the first commandments, if you remember, First commandment was thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and you will not have any other God beside me. Do you remember? And what was one of the first things they did when Moses didn't come out of the mountain? They go and they make themselves a golden calf. Isn't that right? They made themselves a god. So within this Ark of the Covenant was the law that God had given them, and they broke it. And there was another thing in that ark. How you like my flower? It's cute, isn't it? A beautiful flower. One of the things they rejected while they were in the desert, they said, you know what, Moses, anybody can do your job. Moses said, yeah, fine, do it. No, he said, anybody can do your job. We want another leader. What they rejected was the leadership that God had provided for them. Do you understand that? So what they did was, the Lord told Moses, tell every man that is the leader of their tribe, which they had 12 tribes out there, bring their staffs and put them in the tabernacle. So they put these dead sticks, they were just sticks, that they walked with, boom, boom, and walked. And they put them in the tabernacle. The Bible says that the next day, when they opened the doors, Moses' staff had budded and made a flower. It was a flower had popped out of it. And God said, take that and place it within that tabernacle. Place it within the Ark of the Covenant. You guys get that? There was three items in that ark. There was the manna, which they rejected. There was the word of God, the commandments, which they had rejected. And it was the leadership that they had rejected. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It describes mankind. We want to have it our way. How many nights? It's Burger King way. We want to have it our way. Let's do it our way. All right. And so God was providing a way for him to bless his people. Now this box, this tabernacle, or I should say the Ark of the Covenant, which had these things, had what was called upon it a mercy seat. That's this thing right here. The Bible says it was made out of pure gold. Pure gold, when it's liquid, is clear. But when it dries, it turns gold. But this mercy seat was pure gold. And the Bible says that it was above these. Put this guy back in. It was above these things. Another place the Word of God says that mercy seat was Christ. Isn't that nice? So, God, what are you showing us with this? And what is it? And the Word of God says there's also two cherubims that were above the mercy seat. That's what it says. Let's go back and look again one more time. Well, let's just back up in the Scripture a little bit. Wherein was a golden pot and manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the tables over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat. Okay? I need a couple angels. Anybody want to be an angel? Javier, come here, bro. Come here, man. All right, we got a couple angels. Got me a couple. Javier, are you coming? You said, he saved me, huh? Yeah, come here, man. I got a couple of angels. Check this out. This is kind of what it looks like. This might feel kind of weird to you. The Bible says in other places, the Word of God says that these angels were looking into this box. Is that okay? Word of God says that their faces were towards the mercy seat. In other words, they were looking. And it also says they got wings. You guys got wings? Yeah. And the Word of God says that they were actually touching at the top. So this is what you want. This is like, can you guys see what's going on here? Can you see what I'm trying to explain to you? What I'm showing you here is the what was inside the holiest of all. These two angels are looking into this box. Now, right now, there's nothing on that box. There's nothing on that mercy seat. So when you're looking at it, you're seeing what you're seeing is these two angels, and they are looking at the sin of the people. Do you understand that? They are looking at, if your hands get tired, you can put them down or just rest on each other. They are looking at the manna that was rejected. You want some manna? Have one. Take one. Take one. There you go. Two. Take two. Have a piece of manna. Come on. Have some manna. They're looking at the manna that had been rejected. They're looking at the Word of God that had been rejected. They're looking at the leadership that had been rejected. And the Word of God says this. This says, by two or three witnesses will anything be established. These two cherubims are looking, and when they see the sin of the people, you know what? They would begin to cry. These angels would begin to cry judgment. God, they deserve judgment. They deserve judgment. Because I tell you, sin deserves judgment. Do you know that? But the Bible says once every year. Is that right? Once every year. Pastor John, come here, bro. Yeah. Once every year. The high priest. This is the high priest. How many of you can? It's got to be the high priest. Yeah. He would come in once every year, and he would pour the blood of those lambs that were sacrificed and put it on the mercy seat. Go ahead, spread it out there. Now, what the angels are seeing now, because I didn't tell you, what the angels are seeing now is the blood of the covenant that God had made, even though right now it was from sheep, from lambs and oxen, and that the high priest came in and he spread that over that so that the sins cannot be seen by the angels, and now the angels begin to declare mercy. Mercy. God, give them mercy. How many need mercy? Come on, man, I need mercy every day. God, I live in your mercy. How many say that? I live in your mercy, God. Hallelujah. This is the picture of what was done on earth with Moses. But do you remember that God told Moses something very specific? He said this. He goes, make sure you make it according to the pattern which you saw when you were in the mountain. Do you remember that? The pattern that Moses saw was the pattern that was in heaven. That's what he saw. And Moses made it after that pattern. This is what you, this, folks, this is what, this is a light, well, it's not exactly, but this is a likeness of what was going on in heaven. And it says that Jesus, I'm going to just jump to Revelation chapter 5, if you will. You guys getting tired? Yeah, just stay right there, man, because we're not done. Sorry, Javi. My nephew comes down from Bisbee, and he's like, I'm put him in, throw him up here, man. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And the word of God says, and I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals of the book thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And then he says, and I wept much. I believe this is John the Revelator writing the Revelation. And he said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. You see that? John the Baptist said, look, there he goes. There's the Lamb of God. There he goes. That's him. John the Revelator says, hey, and I saw in the midst a lamb that as it had been slain. Having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Is that cool? And has made us unto our gods kings and priests. Hallelujah. And we shall reign in the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, amen. How many of you guys say amen? Amen. And the 4 beasts said, amen. And the 4 and 20 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his work that he did. When he told Mary, don't touch me, I have not yet ascended to my Father, he had to go and present his blood on the mercy seat of heaven for our sins. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. But what is sin? Go ahead, guys. You can sit down. Thank you. Give these guys a hand for that. But sin, let's talk about sin a little bit. Now we talked about the Lamb of God, but let's talk about sin. And everybody said, oh, no, don't talk about sin. Yeah, we're going to talk about sin this morning. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that anything that is contrary to God can be considered sin? Can I tell you that? Hallelujah. Amen, brother. Preach it. Come on. Sin, let's talk about it. Reuben and I were talking. I couldn't. Rue and I were talking yesterday. We were talking about when we used to be young guys in the church. And I remember I had a sister. Her name was Sister Mara. And she would tell you, come here. She, you know, stick out your hands. And you stick out your hands. And she comes with a ruler. And, buddy, you better not move them. And she would hit our hands. Reuben was telling me how they used to make him, as a little boy, put his fingers like this. Is that right, Reuben? And then they would peck and they smack him on the end of his fingers. And he said, you're just waiting for that. You're just, it's better not to look. But while we were talking about it, he said when he was in confession, he was a little boy. And they told him, go in there and confess your sins. He says, okay. He goes in there, he sits down, he goes, I mean, what does a kid know? He's a little boy. I don't know what I've done. He said, the priest said, you going to say anything? Say something. He didn't know what, I don't know what to say. Say something. Priest come out and grabbed, is that right, Reuben? Grabbed him and shook him. He said, man, I thought it was kind of comical, but it is kind of, because what is sin? What is sin? And the Word of God gives us a little bit of instruction, so we're going to look at it pretty. We're going to, if you would, if you would put up Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're going to read this. Verses 6 through 21 says this. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that okay? Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And he said, verse 11 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Uh-oh. Everybody say, uh-oh. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Are you guys seeing what I'm saying? What's it talking about? Cussing? No, okay. Taking God's name in vain. Verse 12 says, keep the Sabbath day sanctified as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thy donkey, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Verse 16 says, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shall you desire thy neighbor's wife, nor shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, his manservant, his maidservant, his donkey, his mule, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Kind of a long set of commandments, is that right? And you know how we know we've condensed them into the Decalogue, what's known as the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And here's a shortened version. So as we go through this, and hopefully that you'll see that God is addressing sin in the earth, and this is the first one. Commandment number one says this: thou shalt have no gods before me. Is that okay? Everybody say amen to that. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, there's only one God. How many know that? But sometimes we create gods. Is that right? Do you remember when they did that calf? Yeah, they created a god that they worshipped. And so man creates gods. They really do. Sometimes it's your intellect. Do you know that? It can be anything and everything. It can be your shoes. It can be, if I don't know. I'm just saying anything you place before God becomes your God. Is that okay? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't place anything before God. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Anything that, you know, we have people that worship the sun. We have people that, there's all sorts of different things out there. They are images that they think are worthy of, have value to worship. Wrong. Number three says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It just says, don't use his name. Can I tell you, folks, sometimes even Christians use his name in vain? Everybody says, no. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do because we use it incorrectly. Is that okay? We'll use his name in vain. And we got to be careful with that. Okay? What comes out of your mouth, God will talk to you about. So be careful with what you say and how you say it. Is that okay? That's good. Number four says this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is actually the Saturday, but the disciples began Sunday morning worship. So but I want to tell you about the Sabbath day. It's a rest day. And the Bible has taught us as Christians that we are to enter into his rest. That is every day. You enter into the rest of the Lord every day. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. Is that good? How many know that's a good commandment? This commandment comes with a blessing. It says that you may live long all the days of your life. Comes with a blessing. Number six, thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Somebody asked me at work, man, he goes, do you steal nuts and bolts? I go, no. Why would I do that? Well, everybody does. No, well, doesn't the Bible say thou shalt not steal? He goes, yeah, well, I don't think God cares too much about a little nut and a bolt. He said, well, yeah, stealing is stealing. How many know whether it's big stealing or little stealing? Is that right? Do not steal. No, okay, next one, number nine, says thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is, what's another word for this one? Lying. Has anybody ever lied? Anybody told a, nobody in here has ever lied. Oh boy. Yeah. Number 10. Thou shalt not covet. Extreme desire for something that's whatever. Thou shalt not covet. Went through those things because of the fact of the matter is that Jesus paid for every one of those things in our lives. Do you know that? Folks, there's not a one of us in here probably that one of those didn't hit us one way or another. Is that right? How many know that? It's just who we, it's just the way we are. But the fact of the matter is God is trying to push that out of you. He's trying to purge what's within you that's contrary to who he is, because he has a plan for the kingdom of God. He has a plan for the people of God. And if you'll pay attention to what he's trying to say to you, he will begin to purge these things in a way that you never thought was possible. The word of God says that what is impossible with men is what? Possible with God. Is that right? Is that correct? It really is. So I want you to look at the scripture here. Hebrews. Chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. I want to read these real quick. We're almost done. How many of you guys are okay? Everybody say amen. Come on. Finish up, Pastor. Let's go. Come on. But Christ become a high priest. Remember the high priest that went and placed the blood upon the mercy seat of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, talking about the one that was in heaven, not made with hands, that is to say of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his what? His own blood. His blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Once every year? Once for all. One time he entered in to pay for every sin. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? What about the sin you do tomorrow? What about the one you make a mistake and you end up 2 weeks from now? Is he going to go back to the cross and die again? Is that going to happen? Absolutely not. That is paid for. Because if God has a way of looking at things, he looks at the from the end to the beginning. He looks at the whole show. That's why when he said it's finished, he meant it's finished. It's a done deal. It's all been complete. Every sin, every contrary thing that is against the nature of God or that is against the kingdom of God, it's paid for. He took it. And he says this, For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, and then this is the word I wanted to bring it to you, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Everybody say, purge my conscience. Say, Lord, purge my conscience. Purge my conscience. Last week I talked about how the earth waters, and I mentioned it earlier, the earth watered itself from within. There was a mist that rose out of the earth and it watered the garden, watered the earth before the flood. That's the way the earth, and it is a picture of how God wants to water you if you'll listen, if you'll hear this. The kingdom of God is within you. That water that rises up from within you will purge whatever's going on in your life. It really will, if you'll allow it to. God is interested in you and the things that you think of. Can I tell you, you can't hide from anything that you're thinking from God? Can I tell you that? Everything that you think, he sees it and he knows it and he hears it. Everything that you say. The Word of God tells you that everything that's spoken in secret will be revealed openly. Is that right? Everything. God sees it all. And you are not, I mean, we are not, we cannot hide from him. He tells us, this is a word that he says, and I used to kind of think, well, you know, whatever. But he says, "Is be holy is what? I am holy." He says, "Be holy as I am holy." Can you do that? Is it possible? It's only possible through what Christ has done. That's the only way. He says, "Be holy as I am holy." For some reasons, we think that we can go ahead and do those things that are contrary to God and say, well, God, you knew about this before, and you know, Pastor Henry says that, you know, you knew it before and it's done. Can I tell you something? He talks about presumptuous sins. Do you know what a presumptuous sin is? Is when you go ahead and do when you know it's not right. You know you're not, you know you shouldn't be doing it. You know you shouldn't say that. You know that you say, you know, I shouldn't say this, but how many have done that before? You know. And the Spirit of God within you says, don't do it. Don't do it. And yet we'll step into it. Is that right? Be careful. Because the Word of God tells us that there is something that happens to somebody that knows to do right but doesn't do it and continues to reject to do right. The Bible says that a searing happens in your heart, where even if the Holy Spirit came to you in a dream and said, don't do that anymore, you're going to keep doing it. God is purifying the body, and it's going to come from within. Can I tell you that? Maybe that's why some of you won't read the Word anymore. Maybe that's why some of you don't want to take the time to read the Word, because it convicts you. And all of a sudden you realize, you know, wow, God's saying something to me. Okay, sorry, God. Listen, the Holy Spirit's job is to bring the body together. The Holy Spirit's job is to wash out, is to point out the things that are wrong and to purge them. That's what he says right here. Bring that scripture up. He says, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, and he's going to purge your conscience from dead works. Here's another thing that needs to be purged out of you, is your guilt. How's that? Your shame. Let him wash it out. It's okay. Let him cleanse you. Let him purge that out of you. It's a dead work. It's not even bothering you anymore. But yet you feel guilty about it because it didn't happen, or you did something that you feel guilty about. God says, just let it go. I'm not holding it against you. Release it. Let him purge it from you. Because he's trying to build the body of Christ, and you're part of it. He's got you here for this reason. He's got you here to show the world, hey, this is not a pipe dream. This is a reality. The kingdom of God is a reality. I was saying to the guys on Saturday, I said, do you believe that God can bring all the church together? Do you believe it? Does it seem like an impossibility? Sometimes it really does. But it's not an impossibility. What is possible, what's impossible with men is possible with God. God will bring us together. He's going to build a body. He's going to come after a bride that is white, pure, clean. Today's the day. Today's the day. Hallelujah. One more scripture. This is Romans 6:23. This is what it says. I love this scripture because how many know the wages of sin is death? Is that right? How many know that death is not it's not a friendly thing with God? Do you know how many know that death is an enemy of God? Do you know that? It is an enemy. Anyone that has received Christ into their life has stepped into life. Is that right? That's why it's so important that we talk to people about the things of God so that they can step into life, because sometimes things happen and, you know, people say, hey, you can go across the street there and get hit by a bus. You can. And if they don't know about Christ, they won't know about the free gift of eternal life. They just won't know. So here's what the Word of God said. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Is that right? How many have eternal life in the house this morning? You got to know that you do. You got to say, man, I got it, man. This is part of who I am. I am in eternal life. Hallelujah. That's a deal. And it doesn't come by working for it. It comes by believing God. Say, God, what you said, I believe. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. And praise God. Sin is not an issue anymore. How many know that? Sin's not an issue anymore. Unless you give it place. There might be somebody in the house that has never heard this message, that if you believe in Jesus, he will wash your sins away. He will place his blood over your life, and forevermore you will be his. So let's pray. Bow your heads, and if you will, pray with me. Say this, and this is to help those that may have never said this before. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. Forgive me of my sin. The sins that I've committed, forgive me, Father. I believe that your Son Jesus died for my sins. He rose from the dead that I might rise with him. I believe it, Father. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer this morning, know this, that you, if you believed it with your heart, if you said it sincerely, you are saved. God has saved you. Hallelujah.